to the more than 30 million descendants of American slavery. The poetry and fiction that appears between the nonfiction chapters of this book occurs on a timeline that runs chronologically from 1619 to the present. While the nonfiction chapters are not strictly chronological, they have been arranged with the historical narrative in mind. A note about this book. This book uses a variety of terms to describe the aspects of the era of slavery. In almost every case, the editors have avoided the word slave to describe persons held in bondage. The alternate term, enslaved person, accurately conveys the condition without stripping the individual of his or her humanity. In some instances where it does not refer to a person, example, slave state, and in some of the historical poetry and fiction, slave does appear. The editors have attempted to limit the use of terms that are sometimes used euphemistically, such as plantation or master, or to substitute, when possible, other terms that more accurately convey the historical situation of enslavement. As this book contains the work of many different authors, some of them representing different scholarly fields, there remains some heterogeneity in how these terms are deployed. The editors. I am the American heartbreak, the rock on which freedom stumped its toe, the great mistake that Jamestown made long ago. Langston Hughes, American Heartbreak, 1619. Preface. Origins by Nicole Hannah Jones. I was maybe 15 or 16 when I first came across the date, 1619. Whenever I think about that moment, my mind conjures an image of glowing three-dimensional numbers rising from the page. Of course, in reality, they were printed in plain black text on the cheap page of a paperback. Still, while the numbers did not literally glow, I remember sitting back in my chair and staring at the date, a bit confused, thrown off kilter by an exhilarating revelation starting to sink in. For as long as I can remember, I've been fascinated with the past. Even as a young girl, I loved watching documentaries and feature films about events that took place in a bygone era. As a middle school student, I read all of my dad's Louis L'Amour westerns and the entire Little House series because they transported me to this mythic American frontier. I loved sitting in my grandparents' basement, leafing through aged photo albums filled with square black and white images and asking questions about the long-dead relatives frozen in the frame. My favorite subjects in school were English and social studies, and I peppered my teachers with questions. History revealed the building blocks of the world I now inhabited, explaining how communities, institutions, relationships came to be. Learning history made the world make sense. It provided the key to decode all that I saw around me. Black people, however, were largely absent from the histories I read. The vision of the past I absorbed from school textbooks, television, and the local history museum depicted a world, perhaps a wishful one, where Black people did not really exist. This history rendered Black Americans, Black people on all the earth, inconsequential at best, invisible at worst. We appeared only where unavoidable. Slavery was mentioned briefly in the chapter on this nation's most deadly war, and then Black people disappeared again for a full century until magically reappearing as Martin Luther King Jr. gave a speech about a dream. This quantum leap served to wrap the Black experience up in a few paragraphs and a tidy bow, never really explaining why, 100 years after the abolition of slavery, King had to lead the March on Washington in the first place. We were not actors, but acted upon. We were not contributors, just recipients. White people enslaved us, and white people freed us.